Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinking bros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
All right, let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. And they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code BROS. Tried a bunch of their gummies myself, and it's wild how different each one feels. They're sleepy time gummies. Knock me out in about 15 minutes flat. No hangovers, no grogginess. I wake up feeling amazing the next day. And they're epic euphoria gummies. Well, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your shitty mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere else for that matter. And they've got gummies for literally everything. Immune supports, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS. And they can ship to almost every single state in the United States of America. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off with their first order with code BROS. So head on over to Mood.com. Browse their amazing selection of functional gummies and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use the promo code BROS at checkout to save 20% off your first order. Shop OmahaSteaks.com. Give Dad the legendary Heartland quality he deserves for Father's Day. Plus, our listeners get $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. Yes, I do. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. I agree. I love nothing more than hanging out with the fam, going to the pool, drinking, and having some great meats. Omaha Steaks is the best in the biz. Also love their burgers as well. Talked about those a couple weeks ago on here with the burgers. Those smash burgers, man, they're phenomenal. They're pre-packaged, pre-smashed, all that other stuff. And I know you're saying to yourself, well, what's the difference? It's just a patty or whatever. It's not. They're caramelized and seared and all that other fun stuff there. And it literally goes from freezer to bun in 5 minutes. And that's the truth. Anybody out there who's got kids who tear through these things and then you want to make them real quickly and everything else, my wife was able to dial these in and rip through a whole package of, I think it was 16 free is what we got in the last box.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, they're phenomenal. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917, family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. They also carry mouth-watering burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, and easy-to-prepare comfort food. This Father's Day, give Dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for guaranteed perfect gifts that deliver legendary quality, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, and you're going to get an extra $35 off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Head on over to that site, man. You can get lost in there, by the way. Bob, is that it up there?
Yeah.
What else do they have? I ordered burgers and steak last time.
I'm messing around with their seafood section here. They got lobster, shrimp, freaking crab.
Do they really?
Yeah, dude.
I haven't ordered that. I haven't ordered that yet. All right.
King crab legs, jumbo lump crab meat if you don't feel like cracking it open.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. I was unaware of that game.
Look at these thick puppies.
Yeah. I was just a steak boy and everything else. I didn't want to say, hey, wife, cook me a lobster for dinner, like Henry VIII or something like that. But I will now. Shit, if they can just drop it off at the house, that'd be great. I didn't want to go to the fucking grocery store and get it, which is exactly what Omaha Steaks does. They just drop it off right at your doorstep.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Jonathan Kite's here. Won't stop talking about white power before we got on air. My God, Jonathan.
I think that's the other one.
Yeah, it's the other one. That's the other race you're doing right there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. There
I'm
you both. Go.
I'm equal.
Yeah.
I'm equal hate, and I think we know that about me. That's my brand.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Johnny Depp trials in full swing, my man. This keeps getting better and better and better.
I mean, first off, what's up with what he's wearing to court?
This is who I've said this a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about it, and then earlier this week, just because the trial had started. That's who he is. These characters that he plays in movies, he is Captain Jack Sparrow.
No, but I just mean there's like he looks like a Dick Tracy villain.
He keeps changing. The first day with the slick back hair, he looked like a fucking drug dealer.
Yeah, he looked like a. This one's great. So this is the first one here. Let's pull up that suit, Bob. There you go. It looks like a pit boss at a casino in Vegas.
No, not Vegas.
You don't think Vegas?
In Reno.
In Reno.
Reno. In Reno.
Yeah. But this looks like a guy who's just like, you owe me money. You owe me money.
He's a pit bull fighter.
Yeah.
But a pit bull fighter out of Reno.
Yeah, but to Dan's credit, it looks like he's playing different characters in a movie. It almost feels like a two-week audition for studios again of like, look, here's how great of an actor I am, because I'm sucked into it.
It looks like a Cher concert where he just has costume change after costume change or Lady Gaga extravaganza.
But it feels like a different audition for a different role every single day, but it's still Johnny Depp. And I don't know about you, but for me personally watching this trial, I want to hire him again and I want to see him in movies again.
I love Johnny Depp. Same. And I love him even more after this shit.
Here's what we're finding out with all the weird celebrity shit over the past couple of months. Women are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They're just terrible people. Jada Pinkett is a terrible human being. Obviously is a terrible human being. Amber Heard, terrible human being. That's what I've taken from it. Those two examples are enough for me to think that all women are crazy. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
I'm single, and I think women are great. No, it depends on who it is, right? Because there's women who are just batshit crazy, and then you have.
Well, here's what I would say about this for Johnny Depp. Obviously, the accusations came out, and it came from a place whether you believe her or not. But I want to know what the proof is that they took everything away from him immediately without establishing. Like let's say it goes to trial. Mm. He is guilty. Let's just say that, right? And I don't think he is. And I'm looking at you, Johnny Depp, if you're watching, and I know you are. That I think that then you can take it away. But to have the accusation come out, and then he loses the Grindelwald stuff, Harry Potter world, love that. He loses, he's never going to play Jack Sparrow again, and they're coming out with another Pirates movie without him, the franchise that he fucking helped build from the ground up.
Right.
And they took it away before it went to trial, before any evidence was presented.
Mm. Yeah. Well, but that's Hollywood, though.
I know, I'm saying that's ridiculous.
But when you read these text messages, you wonder if they'll still stick with him. One of them, because he has to read these aloud in court. So one of them was like, drank all night before I picked up Amber to fly to L.A. this past Sunday. Ugly, mate. No food for days. Powders. Half a bottle of whiskey, 1,000 Red Bull and vodka pills, 2 bottles of champers on a plane. The fact that he said champers, too, makes me love him even more. But then he's like, what I'd really like to do is drown her, burn her, and then fuck her dead corpse. And he said that on the stand. And you're like,
I mean, we've all texted that. I mean, am I alone here?
No, we had a conversation last week about how long it's appropriate to, like, if you were in bed with your wife and she died, what kind of time are you working with there? You know what I mean?
To have sex with her?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, how much time do you have before it's
15, 20?
I would say till she's pronounced dead. Until the coroner gets there.
So you just locked the front door.
It's like Disneyland. That she ain't dead on the property. Until the coroner arrives.
Yeah, I'm going to say 15, 20 before it starts to harden up. Because then it's a street fight. Like, you got to get out some lube or something else. Like, it's going
to... You have to... No,
set
you
in.
Can't leave that bed.
No, you can't leave the bed.
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's so, like base and freeze tag.
Yeah. Or like you're playing chess, you got your finger on the piece.
100%. That's better. Yeah, absolutely. If your hand's on the piece... Yeah. we're having fun here.
We are.
Put your hands on the queen,
man. But this
you better knight her.
You got a knight her. But where do you go with this? Where does the jury go with this? Because this is a defamation trial.
But here's the thing. So what is she saying that he did? Because let me just tell you this.
Beat the shit out of her. So she wrote an op-ed piece in the Washington Post.
Yes. She didn't name him specifically. So the jury has to be convinced that. It's clear that she meant him, which she's basically already admitted by the submissions that her legal team put in.
Correct.
That part is dumb. Just deny it was about him. But they've already lost that case. So the three parts you need for the defamation is for the defamation to have happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
For it to be from this person, about this person, for it to be untrue. That's the second part.
Right.
Right. And then to show losses, whatever it happens to be, whether it's loss of personal enjoyment, which is part of it, but then also the financial losses, which are clearly demonstrable.
Mm-hmm.
All three in this case. Like, I don't even know why I don't know why people are so weird about this trial. Like, this is obviously going in one direction. She's getting fucked, right?
That's what it feels like, but it's still not over. Because he just got off the stand. Yeah, yeah. Well, he just got off the stand. She's going to get up there and say some shit. And they've been playing these wild ass videos. And then the rest of the country is just watching this for their own enjoyment. Bob, what has been your favorite part? Because you and your wife are super into this as well.
Yeah, my wife is like just deep into this fucking thing. The best part to me so far is how her fucking lawyers. They just keep being like, no matter what Johnny Depp says, they'll be like, did you stab her in the face? And he'd be like, no, I never did. And like, I'm going to take that as a yes. I think we can all agree that you said yes to that. So let's move on to the next question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, did you just put your whole fucking arm down her mouth and, just start punching her like inside? And he'd be like, yeah, no, I didn't do that. And they'd be like, well, it sounds like, you know, that feels like an admission. So we're going to move on past that. Like, her lawyers are awful.
Awful. Mm-hmm. It keeps going on, and they keep asking the same questions over and over again, and then they keep objecting, saying hearsay.
over and over and over right. again. And finally, Johnny just cut it off during court, and he goes, right before he finished his sentence, he was like, oh, well, you know, it's fine, constant, and then... Hearsay, right? Hearsay? And I mean,
he's got a great sense of humor, and no one says
really,
he doesn't.
Really fucking funny, by the way.
He's like, very funny.
And they asked him at the trial, they said, hey, Ms. Heard has said that you often drink whiskey when you wake up in the morning. And his answer in court was, well, isn't happy hour anytime? And the place erupted. And it's been, I mean, it's the best trial you could hope for.
It feels like a mob boss trial in Gotham City.
Yeah.
Like,
a little bit, yeah.
And by the way, my porn name is Johnny Depp. And so I'm clearly on board for Johnny. Yeah. Here's the thing. I know people didn't know him, which, by the way, I'm sure people thought Ted Bundy was a cool guy too. But people that I know that know Johnny and have... in the service industry where they were in positions of like working at a restaurant or whatever, they say he's like the nicest dude in the world.
Everyone.
And they said that he went out of his way to be so kind and generous to everyone that asked him for a photo or whatever. By the way, which doesn't mean that he didn't do those things, but it's like, in a weird way, I never heard a good thing about Amber Heard. Not from the critics.
No. No.
Not from people that know her.
I had a buddy that dated her, and she was the exact nightmare that they're describing right now. And she ruined another relationship that he was in, and she
ruined
like that
Aquaman
for years.
And that was
and
hard because the movie was terrible.
Yeah,
and it's funny you say that because that's the way they describe her in this New York Post article as Aquaman actress. And I guess
that's hilarious.
Is that the most famous thing she's?
I would have reviewed
Pineapple
Amber...
Express.
Oh yeah,
she played Seth's girlfriend.
Oh, fuck, you're
his
right.
High school girlfriend.
God damn, I forgot about that, yeah. Dude.
My review of her in Aquaman is Amber Heard is drowning. Somehow an Aquaman.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Yeah. No, so that's it. I want you to live in that for a little bit.
Marinate.
That's the gif. Just like.
My favorite part of that, of the quippiness of Depp so far is, I think it was yesterday, the prosecutor was asking him questions and he was answering them in a way that the prosecutor didn't like. And he said, the prosecutor essentially, accused him of wasting the court's time. And he was like, well, what about the 6 minutes when you were looking for an email a few minutes ago?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He just, like, he's coming right back at the other attorney.
But in a non-confrontational, funny way that everybody enjoys.
It's disarming for everybody except for the victim.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. At one point, literally, he was trying to answer, and, you know, he's fucking, like, rambly and shit because he's done all the drugs. Yeah. And
it's George Young, for Christ's sake.
Right. Yeah. And they were just, like, cutting him off in the middle of his answer. I mean, like, you know what? Yeah, you did it. We'll just say you did it. And he's like, well, I'm trying to finish my answer. And he's like, well, you know, no one wants to be here, all right? People got shit to do. And then he was like, I need to fucking answer your question.
Yeah.
Well, he understands the court is theater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When it's being presented this way as a media, it's a stunt. Mm-hmm. He's been in the game for so many years and he's seen this happen with a ton of people in his position.
Yeah.
And he knows that, like, we as a public, I think, are on his side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he has sort of been around long enough that somebody like that, like a Keanu Reeves or a Nicolas Cage, like, listen, these people are famous for a reason. I do think it's their acting, but I think it's their likability, and people are returning to the box office, especially because he is a movie star where you have to pay to see him.
What's the right? It's the fame that persists whether or not you're actually professionally successful at the time.
Absolutely.
Like, that's a different kind of fame.
And he's earned that for so many years. It's just, and by the way, Johnny Depp, I actually would argue that he's the most successful because he has made more bad movies than almost anybody else in his position, and we don't care.
Well, Nick Cage is close.
I mean, are we doing this now?
It's a onesie twosie. Let's go. Do you do a Nick Cage?
I do.
I do. I didn't know that.
Nick, I would say, oh, hi. Oh, Ross, good to be here. I don't do Johnny Depp. Do you do Johnny Depp?
Yeah. Just words, just a little bit. Like, oh, powders, pills, pills.
Johnny Depp is, pills, he's just a slightly more eloquent version of the, what's his name, the Rolling Stones guitarist.
Oh, Keith Richards.
Keith Richards.
Well, he based off Jack Sparrow.
Right. Yeah. Like, so, he's a slightly more eloquent version of Keith Richards.
Yeah, I don't do Jack Sparrow. It's a red leather.
Yeah.
Sort of trails off. It's
the same guy. Even the hand movements and the bracelets.
Well, here's what my wife
it's
says.
Like, he's a wizard.
He's like a magician without cards.
Yeah.
Like, is this your drugs?
But my wife always says, if you live long enough and you're this famous, you eventually become your character, whatever your most famous character
Christopher Walken. Al Pacino.
She goes to Costner now. Costner, she's like, if you look at Costner, he's living in a fucking Western.
Yeah,
she goes,
I agree.
He's from like Santa Barbara. And it's like, dude, he's nowhere near a fucking horse in a goddamn woods and everything else. But everything he's wearing now is like, he's in it.
No, he's a living Wrangler ad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's in it.
Well, but also, when people, you start to believe your own mythology, but you think about Johnny Depp, like he never plays normal people.
No, he's not going to become a chocolatier, I wouldn't imagine.
No, but well, he could.
He could. He could if he wanted to.
But yeah, I think that he lives in this like Nicolas Cage thinks of himself as an action star.
Right.
Because he's stolen cars and movies and whatnot and obviously escaped The Rock. But you think about somebody like Johnny Depp, he's living the fantasy, I feel like, of every, I'm not going to say not women, but every young boy. It's like, you get to play fucking pirates.
Edward Scissorhands.
Edward is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been doing it for so long, too.
So long.
And I'll go back to, like, Brando on this, because, you know, with Brando, you eventually become your persona and all that other shit.
Absolutely.
And so with this shit and the whole trial and his outfit changes and all the shit, that's exactly what I pictured Johnny Depp to be at this stage of his life. Mm. And I'm amped to see it as if I'm amped to see, like, four different movies where every day it's a new suit. He's tying his hair back. He's kind of got the bleach blonde. All the way down when he's not testifying, and you're like, man, this is awesome.
Well, this is it. He feels like the hero in his own story.
Yeah.
And you're like really pushing for this guy.
Yeah.
It feels like a mini series. It feels like Apple Plus, and it's like we're really pulling for this guy. We're like, and honestly, don't spoil it to me. I don't know what happened to the end of the trial. I haven't binged it yet.
No, but you will.
I hope he wins.
You will. I think he will. Well, the theater's too good, right?
The theater is good, but there's some counter theater going on as well, which is something else we wanted to talk about, because this might be the weirdest thing I've ever seen in a courtroom before, which is the day after Depp wears one of his outfits, his eclectic outfits, one or two of the hallmarks of that outfit are now represented on Amber Heard's outfit the following day.
Yeah, so somebody brought this up. Explain this to the audience as you pull it up.
Like, this is him one day.
Yeah, pop
I don't like that this trial is turning into who wore it better. I don't like that. You know what I mean? Us Weekly is a major sponsor of this trial. Not a lot of people know that.
Stars are just like us. But, I mean, look, if you look at this fucking, I didn't notice this at all. That's crazy.
Yeah, but there's better, like, examples as you go down the page there, I believe. Like, yeah.
The New York Post, by the way, has been on fire with this story. Yeah. Holy shit.
Like, it's the same tie.
Looks like they're at Harry Potter.
Does he have a blunt in his mouth?
It's a spliff.
Probably
it's
a clove.
Probably a clove.
We sound like his defense attorney immediately.
Yeah, exactly,
like, out of order.
It's wider,
a clove, Your Honor. It's a clove.
It's wider at the end and tighter at the bottom. It looks hand-rolled.
It's hand-rolled, Your Honor. I did it myself. Hand-rolled.
But you see this.
It's masculine.
You see this, right? Like, the day after he wears
100%.
And it's not the full outfit. It's just one thing.
I hate that.
And I can tell you this.
That's a turtle.
She's definitely not self-aware enough to do that as, like, a joke. Like, she's...
Oh, yeah.
She's trying to, like, get in his head by doing it, and that is fucking hilarious.
She's a
me.
Cruella de Vil.
Yeah.
Type villain.
Like, this is real. Like, she's a real psychopath, in my opinion.
Yeah, she's my Snow White, okay?
Yeah. I know. Giorgio wants to fuck. Like, he... So let me ask you this, because we brought this up on another show.
Please.
Just about her looks. We didn't get that.
By the way, look at
that
profile of Johnny Depp.
Oh, pull that up. Let's see it.
I wanted to point out, are his glasses broken? Does he have Harry Potter glasses?
No. He's steampunk.
Steampunk, yeah.
Yeah.
That's barbed wire. If you look closely, that is barbed wire that is kind of melted
those on Etsy.
In there. Yeah, exactly. It's barbed wire. It's from Wyoming.
He goes, you think prison scares me? I'm wearing barbed wire to the trial. I can just give you keepers anyway.
Those are two different glasses that he
we're also doing two different depths,
oh,
by
we
the
are,
way.
Bro.
And I
he's
love
got
it.
He's got a great career.
Oh, it's everywhere. It's
I
everywhere.
Love Johnny Depp.
Your Jack Sparrow's money,
that
by the
does,
way.
Thank you, baby.
That does kind of look like, can you put that picture back up? It looks kind of like there's a splint and tape over it.
It's
doesn't
the
it?
Style, though. I think
no,
that's
no,
the style.
No, that is not the style.
I think it's the style, dude.
Me and Bob are closer
I think
to the
it,
photo.
You know what? I think it is the style.
His shoes don't have any soles in them, man. It's just the style. No.
But he's rocking it. So in that pic, Bob, put it up one more time, and I hate to keep blasting this, but he's got the pony as well. The blonde dye, like just enough to look
certainly
cool.
No one is saying
that's streaks, and it's like, but here's the thing. So this is how he sits, but and when he's interviewed on the stand, but when he's actually sitting and just watching other people testify,
lets it down,
then he lets it down, and that's hope. That's part of the magic as
let
well.
Let your hair down,
like,
buddy.
Yeah,
let your hair down.
I love all of it.
I just as much thought that goes into every outfit he wears. Mm-hmm. Like I assume he has something he wears to bed. Where it takes maybe 10 or 15 minutes to get it on.
Oh, easily.
You know what I mean? I'm not talking about like a gimp suit or anything, but he probably has a different set of flair and bracelets.
Oh, I agree. His dick looks like Steven Tyler's mic stand.
Yeah. And just to get those rings off, that's probably 18, 20 minutes of his life before bed.
To take them off to then put the ones on his cock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like process. Lenny Kravitz.
It's a whole process.
You ever seen Lenny Kravitz's dick?
No.
Oh, boy. Man, we can't show it on screen, but... Bob, if you type in Lenny Kravitz's dick being out, so he was on stage, split his pants, pretty famous, and when his dick popped out, one, you were like, oh, you're not wearing boxers.
It looked like a chest buster from Alien.
Well, and the other thing is, there was a ring around it, exactly like you described, and I was like...
Oh, so maybe I have seen it.
I don't think that I've seen it. There we go.
I'm pretending
I wish we could show this to the audience.
Oh, what are you talking about? Let's pull it up.
Okay, punch in so Jonathan can see it there, because it's blocked by the camera 8 symbol on our
end. Am I wearing 3D glasses? Is this really going to...
There you go. So look at that cock ring at the top. What do you do with that?
That might not be a cock ring. That might be like, you know, your water meter outside. He may just be keeping track.
That's just, that's how he's chipped.
Yeah. It's one of those rings that you wear that tracks all your stuff. He just wears on his cock.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
It's like find my iPhone.
But he just scans it. It's gold. Like it's a gold ring of
some
sort. You
mean baby? Well, it's called baby's arm holding an Apple Pay.
Would Lenny Kravitz not have a gold cock ring?
No. So when I saw this, by the way, that's exactly what I thought. Of like,
I don't know.
Of course this is Lenny Kravitz's dick.
Something carved out of like an animal bone would have been, that's where I would have gone first.
I would have gone like gold, maybe traded it, because he's got a boat in like Jamaica, and maybe traded it for some food one night, you know, and it was like, oh.
His pube hair definitely has beard beads in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. But he's got a sweet cock, and that's a nice thing.
It looks like a beaded curtain from every patchouli shop.
Chances are it probably smells like that shop.
100%.
It looks like the old porn section at the video places LA where you've got to wade your way through to get to the
back.
Oh,
it looks like Voodoo Shrunken Head.
Yeah.
It's like in a ponytail.
By the way,
looks like Johnny Depp.
It looks like Joe Boo from Major League.
Yes.
Nailed it. I figured out why they used to use those bead curtains for the porn, by the way. Everybody used to steal them. So if the bead shook, then you knew somebody was going back to the X videos.
I agree.
I didn't know that.
The original ring cam.
Yeah, that is exactly what it was.
Wow.
Pull up that other New York Post thing with Johnny Depp. I want you to see his drug paraphernalia because it's spectacular. When you get your name carved into your own pill bottles, it looks kind of like a flask. And there's just a table full of drugs out. And you're like, man, Johnny Depp does it right. This is exactly what I hope for at Johnny Depp. And I don't think this is going to hurt him in the trial either. That's it, Bob. So pop that picture up full screen. So there you got his driver's license. If you look over there, the Depp branded pill box.
I'm sorry. Let me stop you right there. Mm-hmm. Why does he have a burned CD? It's 2022, goddammit.
So I think that was his band, right? Bob, am I wrong? Was that his band?
Rebel Blind.
I think this is a Keith Richards CD. It says Keith Richards at the top CD.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it is, but still, whether it was his own music or not.
But I think Keith probably gave that to him, and Keith is still recording.
From 2013, it looks like.
I don't know. I think that's like a gift that Keith Richards burns his own CDs and gives them out as gifts.
Here you go.
Also, I feel like I'd get a DVD player or a CD player just for that.
Oh, yeah, certainly. But
pop that pick back up.
It's pretty weird.
Weird. By the way, it's very weird. And also, what's that bag underneath?
I don't know.
That's a drug bag. So that's what I have. We have a bag that we travel with that has all of our drugs in it.
And it looks like that?
Similar, yeah.
So I was trying to figure out what that was. What were you going to say, Bob?
The toiletry bag.
So the it says branded Depp branded pill box, but from what I read in another story, that is actually just a Coke box. I'm sure it does a lot of different functions, but it's more for Coke than it is for pills.
Well, there's two
Swiss
lines.
Army knife of drug boxes.
Yeah, and there's two lines underneath it, so that would make sense, Bob. If you pop that back up, if you look to the bottom, there is a couple rails that are cut up there. It looks like three rails at the bottom there.
With his driver's license? Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
And there's tobacco with a spliff like the one we saw him smoking before roll. It seems like he was tobacco.
My favorite thing is the whiskey
It's just there's no ice. It just looks like a glass of sweet tea.
100%. And that's what I was thinking of, like, what kind of whiskey is that? And the only thing that comes to my mind when I look at this picture is SoCo. Because I don't know a whiskey that thin.
Yeah.
Like, usually it's darker.
Man, you should not be drinking a 14-ounce glass of straight Southern Comfort.
No, but if you that's just, all you have.
No.
You
mean,
and warm, by the way. It's clearly God, warm. You damn, can almost see dude. The temperature from here.
That's a man who doesn't care at
just
all.
Just imagine, can you microwave this for me? Can you throw that in the microwave just one more time? Top it over.
If you're looking for, like, branded pill boxes and drug paraphernalia, go to Assholes Live Forever.
Oh, yeah, he's got the best. Kirill. Kirill's a buddy of ours. He's got the best on the planet.
LindaFinegold.com.
Yeah, and if you go down, Bob, scroll down further in this article, they've got pictures of his marijuana that he was traveling with. I never really understood people that get popped for traveling with this much weed. That seems excessive. Like, where are you going that you'll be able to smoke this much weed and you couldn't get it?
That feels like the nut bar at a Whole Foods.
That's like several pounds of weed there. Why would you travel? Nobody's smoking that much.
No,
weed.
And Dan and Giorgio, you guys are the onesie twosie here on our weed experts. How much weed would you say that is?
Probably? Multiple pounds. That's probably 3-4 pounds.
Yeah, it's hard to tell when it's not compressed, but buds that size, I would say that's probably 4 or 5 pounds.
Okay, but what's the need to travel with 4 or 5 pounds of weed?
Yeah, maybe he's giving it away. Maybe he's
shooting a rap video.
Yeah,
maybe it goes back to your generosity thing where they're like, oh, he's always generous.
He is, by the way. I'll tell you, great tipper.
Yeah.
Maybe he's partners in Mike Tyson's weed company or something.
Could be. Could be.
Because you can legally travel with weed, that amount of weed, if you're a fucking licensed weed salesperson.
That's right. Somebody did that for our Super Bowl party, remember?
Yep.
And but I was also, like, that's a lot of weed.
You would, if he would, let's say he's traveling private jet or whatever it is, you don't want to be like, oh, ever think to myself, like if you have all the weed, right? Mm. Bring all the weed or whatever so that you don't have to worry about, and then what you don't smoke, you just take home with you. Instead of being in the middle of somewhere and being like, oh, do we know we can give me some weed?
Yeah. Yeah. I watched that Juice WRLD doc on HBO, and you know, he's the guy that overdosed as soon as the plane landed, the feds had him,
yeah,
and whatever.
Yeah.
One of the things that I didn't know was that there was like 78 pounds of vacuum sealed marijuana underneath the plane as well. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, 78
with that much?
Pounds is different than 5, but I understand what you mean.
Yeah, but
five
they got like they were on tour and he brought enough weed for his whole entourage the whole time.
No, one guy in his entourage was a drug dealer and they just traveled around with that weed.
That's my guess.
And that, instead of him being paid by the tour, you come along and you sell drugs.
Yeah.
I don't think Johnny's a drug dealer. As much as he is a drug user.
Well, and I think he likes to give it out to have a good time.
Absolutely.
So that's probably where I land with this one.
Well, I mean, look, teachers have been telling us forever, you know, put it away unless you brought enough for the entire class.
Yeah, and so that's true. And that's a lesson you can take with you the rest of your life.
It's basic common courtesy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think the one thing that's, you know, at least the damning thing that could hurt him is if there was beaten photos of, like, her, you know, be either punched in the face or slapped or.
But that's what I was going to ask. Why haven't those surfaced?
Because they don't exist.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's
otherwise
like,
they would have been in the press 2 years ago when this whole thing started.
Yeah. That's what.
That note, she was not seen afterwards or she didn't take it. Yeah. If only she had a device that could take photos that was with her at all times.
She doesn't have the mental wherewithal to have sat on that or like the temperament or anything.
I agree with you.
Well, I saw one a couple years ago, but it looked like, you know, when somebody just slaps themselves and it's just like a little light pink. And you're like, man, it looks like you just did that right before you took your own selfie with this. But otherwise, I think he might get off and he's suing for, what, $50 million?
I don't know.
Yeah, $50
million. He's not going to get
that. She's countersuing for $100. Well, look, in a defamation trial, because he really did lose everything. Like he lost,
dude. It's unbelievable. He lost the franchises that he helped.
And Pirates was bringing in 35, 40
brother,
a movie.
Those movies, even the bad ones, were great.
Mm. Yes,
and they're doing another one like without him, which is just crazy to me.
Who's in it?
Probably Orlando Bloom still.
Probably Richard Grieco, who replaced him on 21 Jump Street.
I hope Grieco's in there. Nah, that'd be the best.
That would be unfucking believable.
Grieco makes a huge comeback.
Captain Fat Sparrow.
He was in the 21 Jump Street when they did the reboot.
I know he was awesome.
Yeah,
with Deloise.
Yeah, and you're just like,
it was
whoa.
Fucking awesome.
You're like, what the?
That's
fuck?
The thing. Johnny has such a good sense of humor about himself and the things that he's been in. You know that he Winona Ryder actually he was going to play Keanu Reeves' part in Bram Stoker's Dracula, but they didn't think that he was a big enough star.
Really?
At the time, yeah. And so Keanu Reeves played it instead.
No shit.
Crazy.
That's wild.
So he's been around forever.
Forever. Forever. But with this, look, there's no beaten photos or her bleeding or anything else.
I'm trying to find out.
Unlike the other story that's going on right now is Bill Murray.
I just heard about it on the way over here. Shut down
production.
Yeah.
I guess Aziz Ansari is directing a movie. It's produced by Seth Rogen.
Love these people.
Trouble follows that guy, though.
Who was Aziz Ansari?
No, both Seth Rogen, too. Yeah. Where you put that kid in blackface?
I mean, here is Seth Rogen defending blackface. We didn't have a guy that was the right color. And, you know, the lighting, it's expensive. But in retrospect, I could see I was wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry.
And he buried Franco, too, you know.
Oh.
Franco's supposed to testify in this fucking thing.
In Johnny Depp's thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's some people that are listed that they haven't.
I heard Harvey Weinstein's supposed to testify.
No. That would be amazing.
Bill Cosby.
They bring him out.
Jeffrey Epstein. Kevin Spacey. It's crazy how many people.
But the list was Elon Musk, James Franco, and somebody else, Bob. Who was another big person that was on the list that was like, they could potentially call in?
Well, Ellen Barkin testified for Amber Heard.
No shit.
Yeah, saying that.
How is that?
I didn't know this, but my wife explained to me that she's fucking insane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ellen Barkin is.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
So she was just, I guess, like, her and Johnny Depp were fucking during the Vegas movie, Fear and Loathing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to date Johnny Depp, but he had just gotten divorced or broken up or something. And he was like, I just want something casual.
She played the waitress, the backdoor beauty thing, right? That was her character?
I don't even know.
She won the Academy Award for Requiem for a Dream.
Mm. Yeah.
Am I wrong there?
Ellen Barkin?
She has an Academy Award.
She has an Academy Award. I don't know what it was for. She's a fantastic actress. Maybe she's just fucking nuts. She's just absolutely nuts.
Oh, no, Ellen Burstyn.
There you go. Different people.
Not a Barker, a Burster.
No. She won an Emmy.
Ellen Burstyn, by the way, is a Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah. Yeah, she's Requiem for a Dream.
That was fucking incredible.
The woman that played Jared Leto's mom?
Yes. Holy Christ, was she good in that movie.
Ellen Barkin is kind of, she was the super hot, and then she got older, and she's still kind of hot.
Still smoke show in my book, baby.
Animal Kingdom. She's in Animal Kingdom on TNT. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And that, that woman's, she's awesome.
So she showed up at the trial, and her testimony was crazy, you said, Bob?
Yeah, she was saying that. Like, because Johnny had every one of his exes essentially testify on his behalf that he was nothing but sweet. Like Winona Ryder, his French ex-wife, I forget her name, everybody, girlfriends, wives, everyone. And then Ellen Barkin, I guess, and him hooked up, and he wouldn't date her. And she was like, he was terrible. Not a good person to be with.
So a jilted one-night stand from fucking 30 years ago, that's your swing?
Who called that? Yeah, who called her a witness?
Yeah. Yeah, that's Jesus the best. Johnny's like, wait a minute. Everyone's like, there was that episode of Family Guy where they bring in all of Brian Griffin's exes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's like in the living room.
God damn it.
I mean, that's ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, if Winona Ryder... I mean, you know, these are credible sources.
And he had her tattooed on his body.
And then he changed it to Wino.
Paul Bettany's another one.
Oh, well, Paul Bettany, that was the text exchange where he was talking about drowning her and then fucking the dead corpse. And then he was laughing about it.
Who was laughing?
Paul Bettany.
Yeah, Paul Bettany's got a great sense of humor.
He's hilarious.
Bettany, too, was like extremely British and Bettany when in the text message exchange. He was like, well, I don't think that's quite far enough. It was just very British. And
I got to be honest, I still haven't recovered from Paul Bettany's character in The Da Vinci Code. It still scares me. Like
he's whipping himself?
The monk dude with the chalice and the fucking blonde hair and piercing eyes and the weird red stuff around his eyes.
Yeah.
Man, you're a fucking... like that. Whenever shit goes down, that dude's going to be responsible. I could tell.
For sure. He's married to Jennifer Connelly in real life.
Yes.
Who...
She's awesome.
As a child, show.
Requiem for a Dream.
Great. Oh, that end scene, though... Where she's in the
ass
double
headed
deal. Yeah. God damn it, dude. That haunts my dreams forever.
Haunts.
Mm.
I don't know.
It's because it's Keith David.
I don't think you're using that word right. Mm.
It's Keith David who was in Range 15.
Oh, you mean the voice of Gargoyles?
Correct.
I fucking love Keith David.
But he's the one that's just laughing. Oh, God, that's a filthy scene.
They're both, by the way, that's a power couple, though.
Oh, yeah.
Bettany and Conley?
Fuck yeah.
Vision. He's fucking Vision.
For sure. I mean, that's a big boy couple there. Yeah. So I'm sure she's heard it all, and she doesn't give a fuck, right? Jennifer Connelly?
She did Labyrinth, man. She's been around for a minute.
Labyrinth, forever. One of the greatest films of all.
Yeah.
It is. So I've got kids, and they were watching it. And when I went back and watched it with them, because I was like, oh, man, I haven't seen this as a child. It's David Bowie.
I love
it. Same. But with Jennifer Connelly, all of her lines were 80-yard. Like, when I went back and watched it, I was like, oh, shit. I wonder what happened there. The only other time that I can remember somebody's lines being all the way 80 yard was Mel Gibson as Mad Max. And they said he just couldn't get the fucking accent right. So they had 80 yard.
Wow.
The other one was Orlando Bloom in... fuck. Who's the... Richard Linklater? Mm-hmm. What's the movie where he goes back to Kentucky?
Elizabethtown.
That's it.
I auditioned for it.
For that role?
Not for his role. For the college, for his buddy who was in the hotel with him, who was like, what's up, dude?
So it was supposed to be Ashton Kutcher.
Still bitter about it.
Yeah, obviously. But it was supposed to be Ashton Kutcher. Yeah. And then he was there for like 3 or 4 days. They fired him, brought in Orlando Bloom. Yep. And they were like, oh, this is the guy. And he could not do an American accent. They had to fucking ADR the whole goddamn movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, I love my favorite line in Labyrinth is when she like comes into Labyrinth and she and then there, that little worm is there and he goes hello and she goes did you say hello and he goes no I said hello but that's close enough come inside meet the missus that little motherfucker and I love the guy the troll or whatever he's like Hoggle no it's Hoggle. Dude, I fucks with that movie so hard. When they steal a baby, they can't make movies like that anymore.
They stole a baby,
and they're
dude.
Like, dance, magic, dance. And they're like dance, tossing magic, a baby dance, around. Yeah. What kind of magic spell? He goes, go home, play with your toys. Your little brother is mine.
Yeah.
And people are like, that's cool. It's David Bowie.
David Bowie stole a kid.
It's kind of like Hansel and Gretel, right?
Yeah,
it's that story, but it's like in a sci-fi kind of world.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
real, you can't do anything.
No, you can't do any of that shit today. But it's like in that way that this creepy guy, she wishes that the Goblin King takes her little brother.
Yeah.
And then her wish comes true and suddenly there's a problem.
Yeah. Right. And then they're like, wait, what?
She's like, I gotta get this fucking baby back.
I gotta get the baby back. I would be a lot more, instead of concerned about the baby, excited about my fucking powers. I can just wish things and they
shit.
Happen.
Why is that not discussed?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, they need to do a Labyrinth 2 where she then uses that power to steal other people's babies.
They are remaking the movie, so.
No.
Yeah. I hate to break it.
With Johnny Depp as the Goblin King?
I wish. Then I'd be in.
Which kind of magic spell for you?
Speaking of which, you know what else they're doing? Is a prequel to Willy Wonka.
I heard.
Timothée Chalamet.
Is it where Grandpa Joe has a fucking job?
I hope so.
God it's where damn. He gets out of that goddamn bed.
Get your coke nail ass up out of that fucking bed.
Charlie, well, since it is a
Charlie.
Prequel.
Four adults in a bed?
It was a lot.
That was pre-COVID.
I know it was the depression.
Pre-COVID, obviously. Pre-COVID.
Can you get us a picture of the Grandpa Joe fucking coke nail, please?
You mean foot-to-mouth Grandpa Joe?
Yeah, exactly.
That goddamn bed?
Exactly. But if it is a prequel, then you could go back, and Grandpa Joe would probably be 32 at that point. So
I hate to break it to you. It's all about the Oompa Loompa slave trade. It's a pretty dark prequel.
Are you fucking serious?
No.
No.
Oh, goddamn, dude. It would not surprise me. Let's face it.
It started as a prequel to Blood Diamond.
Exactly. Now it's about critical race theory, and they're just reintroducing it. They're like, hey, here's how we could have solved the problem.
Michael Key is in it as well.
Is he really?
Yeah.
No
funny
shit.
Dude.
Did you read for that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I don't know. And they haven't announced who he's even playing. But I was like, can I play Slugworth?
Yeah.
Young Slugworth, bro.
Is Dinklage going to get mad about this whole thing?
Brother.
Fuck.
What the fuck?
Because he's crazy. Mad about other little
Snow
people getting jobs
dwarf?
And shit.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
You're the last one. Like, he thinks he's the last one through the door and he's going to close the door behind
hold
him.
On,
like, fuck you, dude.
He's closing the bottom half of a Dutch door because it's little. By the way, I love a guy who made a career as Tyrion the Imp.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, dude, no dwarf roles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Or as an executive, an elf that could. Like, the whole premise of the joke around him is that he's being confused for an elf.
Yes.
Yeah. And now nobody else can do it because it's offensive. Oh, we've gotten past that. No, you got rich.
Wait, offensive? They're giving dwarfs jobs and no one would knock them for being little. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They're little.
And it's money. I mean, it's so much money.
But it's
for
also
that.
It's not they're not whoring them out as dwarves.
Right.
Wow. It's like it is a beloved fairy tale where the dwarves are the heroes that are shown in a very positive comical light. Think about listen, I'm part of the legal team. it's a Dink v. Dwarfs, and we're going to trial. But also you think about like all the Hobbit movies, which I love, all those people, the dwarves and the hobbits and whatnot, those are full size adults.
Yeah.
They're not fun sized.
No.
None of them went to dwarves.
But they're Disney has already said we're going to reimagine the dwarves, so it's just gonna be taller kids, I guess.
They may just not look humanoid somehow. You know what I mean? Instead of
maybe. Yeah.
Maybe it's like a
put some CGI like
what about Willow?
Rowan Atkinson's in this.
Is he really? Mr. Bean?
Mr. Bean.
I love Rowan Atkinson. Oh, Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
She is
Olivia Colman's great.
Incredible.
Yeah. She's nominated for an Oscar like every single year.
Sally Hawkins is amazing.
Sally Hawkins won an Oscar.
There's a lot of fucking people in this. Yeah, what's his nuts?
Matt Lucas, by the way.
Who's Matt Lucas?
He's from the British sketch show. Little Britain.
Little Britain, yeah.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah, that's really funny.
He's very funny.
Who's the guy that plays Willow? Because he did a really good show, Life's Too
Warwick.
Short. Yeah, Warwick Davis.
Yeah. Life's Too Short.
Life's Too Short is so funny. If you haven't seen Life's Too Short, go watch it. Because
with Liam Neeson, that one scene?
The AIDS thing?
Oh,
yeah.
my God.
It's so fucking funny.
Amazing.
That's one of the best like 3 minutes of television I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Me too.
Yeah.
hashtag. Liam Neeson comes in to their studio. It's Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, so it's a studio that did The Office, all that bullshit. And he's like trying to pitch a new movie he wants to do.
He goes, I want to do comedy.
Yeah. He's like, and they're pitching him ideas like, what kind of scene could you be in a comedy? And he was like, oh, okay, you're a green grocer. He goes, I played Oscar Schindler. No one's going to believe I'm a green grocer. But then he goes into like, he's got full blown AIDS and stuff.
Well, they do an improv with him because I'm great at improv.
Yeah.
And they do it and then they start the improv and he goes, I have full blown AIDS. Then he goes right to that.
And before they, as they're trying to respond, like they're like, and he's like, I'm riddled with it.
But they're dead serious.
Yeah,
man.
God, it's so funny.
But also it's like that movie, Warwick Davis, clearly R2-D2, you know, he's made, Wicket, pardon me. He was the Ewok Wicket.
Yeah.
He's made money at that. It hasn't hurt his career. There's only been amazing opportunities for him. Willow, such a fucking great film. Mm-hmm. It's like, why wouldn't, you could do the Seven Dwarfs movies, make Warwick Davis one of the dwarfs, there are plenty of, like Billy Barty, who was the old wizard or the old wise, whatever their characters were in Willow. There's a lot of great small actors out there.
Yeah.
Obviously, Brad Williams, a friend of ours.
Dude,
funny as fuck. Yeah. Why? And by the way, that's the great thing about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. They have a great sense of humor. I mean, they are all their names, their adjectives.
And I think Brad Williams told Peter Dinklage to go fuck himself with that bullshit.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
I saw a thing on TMZ.
Yeah, we did. Like, he and I had talked about it right after he gave that. And I was like, what is your opinion on that? Because I was trying to do a Peter Dinklage impression, and it was just going to be me trying to keep jobs.
I don't think I've heard Dinklage.
Trying. I'm working on it now because I was just, it's so stupid. I get on my knees and just start doing the impression. But I just was like, that's half of it. And the impression is getting on your knees. Because when he does Tyrion, he's not English.
Yeah.
But he has such a heavy jaw. Mm. So like he's definitely impressionable. You could like do him.
For sure.
You may have to go old school Godfather and put some like stuff in your jowls for
Brando Dinklage. Yeah.
Like whatever he tucked like
cotton balls
in his mouth.
I don't know if we can afford you come to me. I'll date my dinosaur.
Yeah.
I love Brando. This is the only impression I ever did that made my dad laugh. Because I did when I was a kid, the first impression I ever did was Peter Lorre. You know, from Casablanca.
Ross. He was a Hungarian actor who always played guilty all the time.
Oh, shit, yes.
Yeah. So I love that, but I try to do it. And then one time I did Brando. My dad just sort of chuckled. He's like, yeah, it's Brando.
Who was the guy in House? It was Hugh something.
Hugh Laurie.
That's it.
Hugh Laurie he was a British guy who sort of overtalked his American accent.
Exactly.
It's the same way that Benedict Cumberbatch plays Strange. Hello, Peter Parker. He just sort of does that. The multiverse.
But that's kind of how I expect Doctor Strange to sound.
Oh, he's
right.
By the way, because this like movie looks so goddamn good.
Oh man, it's gonna be good.
But did you see Power of the Dog?
Yeah,
it was awful. Like that was a terrible film.
I mean, you know what? I will say,
if you're up for one of her movies, then I won't make you elaborate. But
it was shot as good as I've ever seen it.
Beautiful.
It was so beautiful.
It looked beautiful.
Here's the thing about that movie. It was like a play. It mm-hmm. should have been a play. My cousin actually taught Kirsten Dunst to play the piano for it. She could
really?
she could actually play the whole song. They had her play it like that in the movie, but she had never played. And so he got hired to teach her and became, I guess, friends now with Kirsten and Jesse.
Do they live here? That was the rumor that they lived here after, because he did Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, that guy's the man.
He's fucking awesome.
At everything he does.
Every single thing.
So goddamn good. Sorry.
And he doesn't care about like weight or looks or anything where you're just like, I mean, he'll just show up.
But also that's not
up.
What he's selling.
He's a great character actor.
He is, but it's so hard to make a big boy living out of that where he's, I would say in the last 5 years, he's probably the only person to do it. Can you name anybody else?
Not at his level. I can't.
I can't either.
No. And I'll tell you what's great is he played Philip Seymour Hoffman's son in The Master.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's like, I imagine, RIP, Philip, that that he'll probably take over. He could do a lot of the roles that Philip would have done.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I he'll win a truck ton of awards. Like,
he's so talented.
Didn't he win an Emmy for or maybe this is before Netflix was eligible, but for the Black Mirror episode he did where he's like...
Captain
Kirk. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so good
for a guest star. I think you're right. He won for guest star. Yeah,
like because
yeah.
you're kind of breaking the fourth wall by having your character as a character on the show, right? But then doing an impression like look, Bill Shatner's a great dude and all, but that's shitty acting he did.
Jonathan, at this point, you've been on a million times. You know, we got some sponsors that pay for this shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/. Drinking Bros. Let's go, dude. 2 free pillows with a mattress. That's the deal that you need to get in on. The pillows are just as good as the goddamn mattress. Now, if you're not wanting both combines, well, I guess you can just get the pillows on their own. Fine, do it. You just get sheets on their own. Fine, do it. Get the weighted blanket on there. Fine, do it. But just type in the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout, then you'll get 30% off all of it. However, I would say get the mattress and the 2 free pillows because it is worth it. As always, they got the 40% off discount on the bundle package. That's the adjustable base and the mattress sandwiched together to create a whole new exciting life for you and your lover, straight or gay. They don't care. They don't care over there. You know what else they don't care about? Is more savings. 60-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest if you have decent credit in there. You believe that shit? That's like 20, 25 bucks a month for a brand new bedroom set because you can combine all the deals that I just mentioned with that. And then it's just a grand old time of savings. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Next up, we got hardafseltzer.com. 8% coming straight to your dome, straight to the fucking head, hombre. Drinking it on the show, drinking real life. Some say too much. We got the OG flavors, blue raspberry, peach, lemon lime, and strawberry. The beauty of these little guys is there's no carbs, no sugars, and only 160 calories. Plus, you're getting fucked up. It's 8%, and it's shipped right to your front door. Go to hardafseltzer.com today and get yours. We only sell them by the case. We only sell them in 24 cans. Sorry about it. Sorry we don't sell a 4-pack or a 6. You can't party with that. Get a whole fucking case, dude. Get the neighborhood drunk. Last but not least, we got drinkingbros.com/store. The store is open. Everything is stocked to the fucking gills up in that bitch. The bro box. Bro box is what everybody's wearing. Everybody who comes in is usually wearing a bro box t-shirt. The beauty of it is, they're never repeated or sold in the store ever again. So if you don't have the Robox, well, you don't get to have it. But if you do have the Robox, then you get it. And everybody else is like, what the fuck is that, dude? How come I can't get that? Sorry, dude. You got to be signed up for the Robox. Sign up for the Robox and you usually get a shirt, some form of drinkware item in there, glassware if you want. We've had glasses in there, haven't we, Dan? Yeah, we've had glasses. Yeah. So go to drinkingbros.com/store today. Flex fit hats are in there. Everything is in the store. We're stocked up, and the merch goes 100% to us. Okay, that really helps the show, so we would appreciate it.
He admits to it. He overacted on purpose.
Do you know why he said he did it? He couldn't remember the lines.
So when he paused, he could recall the word.
That's why he did it.
That's really funny.
I was like, God damn, that's good. Whereas like Brando, you know, he used to read. You know, he didn't know the lines.
Mm. Right. Well, that's why he was looking up at the ceiling, because all the lines were on the ceiling.
They were everywhere.
Yeah. All around him.
No wins for Plemons.
No wins. No shit.
Did he get nominated for that?
He did,
yeah.
That episode was like their big one.
Yeah, that was so good.
It was huge. Black Mirror, it was one of my favorite series, but they're not coming back.
Are they not coming back?
Well, the creator said what's going on in real life
is
too crazy that it's almost impossible to write for what's happening.
Well, they made that episode about the fucking Boston Dynamics dog.
Oh, yeah. Right? And that's a real thing. A bunch of their episodes came to life in real life. But since you've been on a Netflix show, were you surprised at what happened to their company this week?
So there was something that was projected a couple years, maybe 6 months ago, I read that Disney Plus was going to overtake them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing that I would say, I think that they do. It's sort of everything is evening itself out, right? Like it's odd that they were so good and so competitive in so many different areas. Because you look at like CBS, right? Which Two Broke Girls was on. They were specifically known for one type of thing, right? They had like the NCIS, and then they had like the sort of the broad comedies like Us, Big Bang Theory, Mike and Molly, right? So that's pretty good to be good at those two things for as long as they were. It's actually fucking impossible.
Well, those are two. Types of shows that have been tent poles on major networks for fucking 40 years.
And to be as good as they were for as long as CBS has it, by the way, it's like, God bless.
Yeah.
So the fact that Netflix was as good as they were, well, you got to think of like Stranger Things, House of Cards, Black Mirror, Bloodline,
Ozark.
But also look at Squid Game. I mean, they came out with dramas that were like stuff that people talked about.
Yeah.
And obviously like dramas come out every day on Apple or Hulu or whatever, but it's like, and they're great. But when the world was talking about Squid Game in a way that you're like, this is how people used to talk about like JR getting shot on Dallas.
Right,
it's unbelievable. So the fact, it's not that I think that they suffered, because I think that they'll come back up again, but it was a little just that they had so many hits back to back to back to back. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, not that you run out of hits, but there's an ebb and flow to all of this stuff. So the fact that they were just on top as much as they were with new stuff, because you think about Disney doing as well as they are, it's all IP that exists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, of course they're doing well. They're just building off of canon that you already support and put your dollars into. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Netflix was as competitive with new stuff that didn't have IP, you were like, you're going to come down to earth at some point.
Yeah, because the projections for the next quarter, they said they're going to lose $2.5 million on the next one.
Yeah.
And the stock is cratered at this point.
My thing is,
I was thinking about this the other day, where Ozark is coming to an end.
Yep.
I just saw the trailer for
Stranger Things.
Yeah. The kids are older, and the series looks different to me in that trailer. So I'm not sure how big that will be anymore.
Well, that's the thing I think the impressiveness when you think about like NBC in the 90s, when you think it's so easy in retrospect to just like blow off a period of time because it's like, but that was then, this is now. But it's like they had hits and must-see TV for a fucking decade.
Yeah.
And it's like at some point, you know, they lost that. Not that I love 30 Rock. I loved Community, all these other shows that came after that. But to be great and then have the numbers at the same time, it's an anomaly. And I think we don't give enough credit to that. So like Netflix, for coming out first, obviously being like the first streaming platform, really, and to being as strong with everything, Paramount, everybody has their own streaming kind of thing, and Netflix to be able to maintain the championship belt, it's like at some point, you know, it's the laws of it's going to falter. And then something else will replace it, and then they'll sort of redo their business model and things like that. I mean, I think the thing that I think that they do really well, but I think Hulu probably does maybe better comedies than they do, It's like that, or they're able to produce more that have a bigger following. And I think that sometimes, you know, that may just be what's trending right now, is that people are looking for comedies.
Well, the other part about Hulu is they have the licensing rights for all of, like, Disney shit. So, like,
it, and Fox.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fox, yeah.
It's both.
But, and that's the other thing about the Netflix that I, which I think of them as still, like, goat, you know, territory. It's like they don't have the other stuff that those guys do. No. They are their
own. 30 Rock and
The Office.
The Office.
No, but I'm saying that they're not getting them live.
Oh, yeah, they're not getting them live.
It's like the fact that you're getting like Family Guy and all these things on, which I love Family Guy and American Dad and stuff. It's like you're getting TBS, you're getting all these other places to help as tributaries into your river. Mm. And Netflix is just like this. It's a self-sustained entity that's able to come up with That's unbelievable. By the way, Universal, the Peacock, they have Universal. Mm-hmm. Paramount's got the entire catalog of that stuff. You know, there's all these things that are sort of helping it out. Whereas, like, Netflix, man, they're a fucking island, and it's like a continent. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with it. I saw the numbers for HBO that came out the following day, and they added 2 million.
Yeah, but HBO went through the same thing the 3 weeks after the last episode of Game of Thrones, they lost one third of their subscribers.
Yeah.
Like within 3 weeks of that, because they didn't have anything to follow up. I mean, maybe it is a trend that you go up and down, and sometimes comedies are more popular, sometimes it's dramas. Like You is going to be popular no matter.
Absolutely.
What. Yeah.
But there are some things that are, they ebb and flow, but as a company, you got to kind of be ready for that.
100%. I think, you know, they put a lot of money in Cowboy Bebop, because I will tell you, for us, so when I was on Dad Stop Embarrassing Me with Jamie, and we had an incredible experience, you know, and there's a lot of reasons why, you know, we're not coming back for a second season. You know, part of it is I think that Jamie is like the busiest fucking dude in the planet, sure. You know? It's like, the guy's amazing. So, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. It's like time, and that's the other thing. Can you get something where everybody's schedules link up, that you want to get the name talent? Because Cowboy Bebop, they had the IP from the cartoon, which I fucking loved, and it didn't. And we did, by the way, we did very well. We were number one in the world for 4 days straight. Yeah. So we didn't, there's not a second season because of numbers. That was not our issue, you know?
Sure.
Whereas like Cowboy Bebop, it was so expensive, but us and Cowboy Bebop made every list that I had saw of top 10 shows that are most anticipated for 2021, I think was it. And yet both shows are not coming back for a second season.
Well, what was the story with Cowboy Bebop? Because it seemed like a lot of people didn't like it. Your show, there wasn't really any bad reviews or anything. But Cowboy Bebop was, but the cast loved it, and they wanted it to come back for another season.
I just think it didn't feel like, when you do anime, which is so protected, that, like, I just think it didn't feel, like, there's a weird pacing in anime, because obviously a lot of it starts off in Asian language, and then it's translated.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a pacing that's inherently built into it, and I'm a diehard fan of it, and have been my whole life. So when you see it live action, like Ghost in the Shell, they did it with, you know, with Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're like, the visuals are great, and, like, she's awesome, and Michael Pitt's good, but it's like, it's not really the thing that made Ghost. Like, you know, they're trying to do Akira, that Leo owns the rights to that. And in a weird way, I mean, I hope they do, but I hope they don't.
Yeah.
That's one of the number one animes of all time. Like, they would have to put so much money into Akira.
Exactly.
Like,
dude,
that's renowned as, like, the anime of anime.
You can't fuck that up. You can't fuck it up.
But also, there's no reason to improve it. There's no way to improve it. It's like with Cowboy Bebop, in a weird way, that cartoon is so fucking entertaining. And even the way that, like, Spike Spiegel, when he moves in it, he's like, he has these like very particular sort of like stances and stuff. Mm. It's so iconic, and it has existed, I think, in people's minds that it's like, when you see a human do that, unless you're really, and don't get me wrong, John was amazing. I thought everybody was really good as their character, but it didn't feel like the anime.
John Cho, who you're talking
about.
Yeah.
He's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the costume, the detail, like everything was so cool. And I knew, I was like, oh, that's cool, Easter egg there, whatever. But I do think when you do a cartoon and you try to live action it, it's like the pacing and the, yeah, dude. It's like,
I don't think they should.
Camera.
I don't.
You can't do Dutch angles. You can't do crazy zooming cameras, because it doesn't work the way it works in anime with this like flying, like emotionary camera that hits some of the beats. You can't do that.
They tried it with
the
Incredible Hulk. Do you remember that? I can't remember who it was. It was not Bana, or it was one of the early ones.
Ed Norton.
They tried to make it like a comic book, and I was like, this ain't working.
No, I don't think.
Ed Norton. Yeah.
Eyes. Yep.
I don't think they should have filmed Cowboy Bebop like that at all. A live action version of it could do very well.
But yeah, I mean, it's a limitless world.
But forget about all of the special effects stuff. You know what I mean? Maybe some, like, sounds, like,
sword, like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But not like the old, not like the 1950s Batman bullshit. You know what I mean?
Where it's like Banff and... It's tough, though, because it's styled. I think some of the reason that things like that become successful is because the style really is attractive to people.
Yeah, then, sure, yeah.
But if you pick the wrong style, that's when you end up in a train wreck where it's just like, all right, that was the wrong...
The way I'm seeing it in my head is kind of the way that Tarantino did Four Rooms, where there's a, it has that feel to it, but it's not... like streaks on the screen. I don't know how to explain that.
I think that it's you want to. It's the, I think that Cowboy Bebop or anime is the closest I've seen to comic books come to life.
Yeah.
And so I think that when you make another step removed, because essentially it's like they're graphic novels that now have been animated.
What about Sin City though? Like, how does that stack up?
I mean, I thought that movie
the first one was really good.
Incredible. Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, but here's the thing. The amount of coloring that went over it,
oh my God, dude.
It's like it, but it,
it's
but
like 3 years of work. It, yeah, fuck it took that forever. Shit.
I'm it took not forever. But also, they weren't trying to make it as much live action as they were an animated thing. It just,
right.
Which I thought that was as good of his example. And Mickey Rourke won the Chicago Circle, whatever.
He was so good in that. Dude. That was kind of his comeback movie.
It was, yeah.
And then there's A Scanner Darkly, which they rotoscoped, right, with Keanu Reeves. That's a
Richard
fucking,
Linklater did
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Linklater. Yeah, yeah. He's, of course he did, right?
Yeah, so, he did. Speaking of coloring, dude, I'm watching Winning Time right now. Mm. Are you watching that as well?
I've seen part of it. I'm probably, is it all out?
No. They're in like 8 episodes. Same with Delco. He's waiting for the whole season.
I can't because I'll go all the way to the end in one night and get pissed off.
It's really the same, and it's really fucking good. I watch it week to week with my wife, but the coloring in it is colored like it's 1979, 1980, and that plays a huge part in it, where you're in it and you're just like, oh shit, this is dope because it feels like that era.
Right. That's the thing. Like, you got to think of color palette when you look at people like Dune, like people who really pay attention to that. It affects us way more than we realize, and I think because it's weird with a cartoon, when you see something, it's a flat, because obviously it's flat, it's 2D, images, and then it's like trying to make those real but not having the colors pop. It just, there's something that doesn't feel right in your mind, because your mind has already memorized it as something else, and then you go like, well, do something else then.
Well, maybe that's why Sin City worked so well, because they did flatten the palette.
100%, I think you're right. Yeah. And a lot of it was black and white, except for like Yellow Bastard.
Yeah.
And then to see that, it was just like, man, that, yeah, and that story is just so fucking compelling.
Sin City. There was, the second one was dumb.
I didn't like the second one.
But the first one is amazing.
I like the first one a lot.
I saw the second one, I don't even remember. I saw it, but I don't remember it.
The first one had, it's like written, it's not just it shows you how good the graphic novel was before, because it was pretty good canon-wise. And there's an A, B, and C plot in a graphic novel, really. Like, you know, you spent that much time paying attention to the character development in a graphic novel.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think that's weird to me. Yeah. I would have expected that. I would expect, like, maybe an intersecting plot line at some point, but not like a clearly drawn A, B, and C where it's you're jumping from one to the other, but it always makes sense the whole time. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, where there's still some mystery until the end of the film.
There's such really a good depth to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really enjoy it. It would be interesting to see some anime shot more like the graphic novel style like that.
Oh, I agree.
It's just so expensive, and like the budgets on that are massive. I want to pivot for a second, because you're so good in everything you do.
Oh.
My kid watches this fucking Blippi show. I noticed that Blippi changed. Well, the kid, he noticed first, and he was like, "Dad, that's not Blippi." And I was like, and I looked at it, squinted at it a little bit, and I looked it up, and sure enough, there's two different guys playing Blippi.
Huh.
Because that homeboy's just making so much cash that he can't be in.
Oh, see, he went like Gallagher?
100%. And so there's two other Blippies now that are doing it. Would you ever consider doing a child's character like that? That, if you knew, would make you that much money?
I mean, it's tough, because it would depend on the, sometimes those dudes, and God bless them, you get stuck.
Yeah.
And it's like,
once you do
Blippi's
one.
Blippi's making fucking hundreds of millions of dollars. So what do you do?
You think that both those guys are making that money?
No, but the original guy is, right? But if they asked you to do a child show where you could become a character like that, would you do it?
So I think, like, with my experience of being Oleg, that was a pretty cool experience of being like a character that I think people recognize, but then they still recognize me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's tough.
because you see how much of you. It would depend on how much I would have to look like the guy, because like the guy from Blue's Clues, right?
Yes,
like, he, yeah. Steve, right?
Steve, yeah.
See, like it's like, you know, they said number one, they said they fired him because he was going bald. And so, which I was like, I love how honest he was, like right away.
Yeah.
And but it's like, but it's like Spock, right? Leonard Nimoy is Spock, or right. was Spock, always and forever. So it's like, if I could play a character where it wasn't immediately recognizable as like, oh, that's Jonathan Kite, I would do it. Instead of, I think, like being Fred Rogers, being another Fred Rogers, it's like, you're going to be that now. Then nobody's going to see you as anything else.
Mm. But do you look at like Bob Saget? R.I.P. Obviously, he was murdered.
The best.
He was murdered by Dave Coulier.
Cut it out.
Yeah, exactly.
That was his defense in court.
It was. But you look at Bob Saget, where he was America's dad and then was able to have a comedy career after that. Like,
but kids' shows are different. There's something when people, it's why a lot of people, and I think Miley's great, the fact that she became this other persona because she had to get out of Hannah Montana. Mm. When you live in that world and people, when you share people's brains with their childhood, they can't see you as other things.
I agree.
It's very, very, very difficult.
I agree. But the money's so good where you look at it and you're like, man, that'd be hard to turn down.
Well, that's why I ask, well, how long is the guy's contract?
Well, Blippi, apparently he created this character, and it was on YouTube first, and then he owned all the rights, and now they license all the toys and all this other shit and everything else. But he was a stand-up sketch comedian before Blippi, and he did a video that was super graphic. We've talked about it on the show a few times, where remember that Harlem Shake that was going on, and people were doing videos to it? So him and his buddy were buck naked in a bathroom.
Now you have my attention for the first time this hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome. When they cut to the and do the Harlem Shake, he shoots real, 100% real, diarrhea out of his asshole, upside down, in a bathroom, into his best friend's asshole, who's on the floor. And what he did, and this is one of the smartest moves I've ever seen ever in any, we talked about the Johnny Depp trial. This is the best thing that he's ever done. He filed a copyright on that video. So that way, if anybody ever showed it again, he had the copyright on the video and they would shut it down.
I got the video if you want it.
Oh, can you show Jonathan?
Yeah.
There we go. Let's go. So Reddit had this. You ready for this, Jonathan? God, I wish we could show this on YouTube. This should have been a Patreon show. You ready? Okay, great. Show this to him right now. This is the Harlem Shake. And keep in mind, the guy who's...
Who's this dude over here? I love this guy. Who's your buddy over here?
Great. So that's Blippi. No. Oh, over here? He's a listener. We'll bring him on.
I love this guy. Nobody, he hasn't smiled this much the whole episode that he's right now.
So the guy who's shitting, by the way, is probably worth $300 or $400 million right now. He became Blippi, and go ahead and play the video for him.
How is it not called the Harlem Shit?
Oh,
you got to kill that volume.
Yeah, turn that.
The volume's not on.
No, it's well, we can hear it.
Yeah,
right?
This is for you.
Oh, great. You're fine. Well, great. Play it one more time. There you go. We'll wait. It's fine. It's a podcast. Who cares? Yeah. Okay. Take it back.
Oh. Spoiler alert.
Come on. You just
Boy,
spoiled
Bob.
It.
Come on, Bob.
All right. Here we go.
This guy's bad at bozo buckets.
There we go. Yeah. There you go.
My favorite is the guy below. It looks like a fucking fish that you've just taken out of the water. He's just like, keep your mouth closed, Barry. Keep my what? Oh, shit. I got out of my mouth.
There's so much shit. What did he eat before?
My favorite
how
thing
do you
is,
get that take?
My favorite thing is take? He's got a black box over that.
Over his ding dong. Yeah,
but it's like, because that's the thing people are looking at.
That was an apple milkshake for sure.
Oh, dude. How do you time that up?
Just, you know, praying.
Yeah. He goes, we didn't get it. Towel off, we're going again.
I need 6 hours and a steak.
He goes, guys, I need a, yeah. Guys, give me a ghost. I'll be right there. Oh my God.
So that dude is worth like $300 million now, and he's the biggest child star in the world. So I'm at a birthday party. One of my kids, and they were like, oh, one of their parents was talking about Blippi, and they were like, oh, Blippi. My kids always watch Blippi or whatever. I was like, do you ever see that Harlem Shake video? And they were like, no. And I was like, great, let me show you who Blippi really is. And I played this at a child's birthday party. Everybody was mortified.
Yeah, of course.
And they were like, man, I would never let my kids watch that if I knew that happened. And I was like, well,
Blippi took actions to make sure nobody would see that video.
That's very
but why?
Smart.
Why would you care if he had done that before?
So here's the thing.
What does that have to do with what he's doing now?
Me personally, I don't care. When my kids watch Blippi, I don't say anything. But me and my wife always have a nice wink at each other of like, oh, man.
That's fun. We've been doing that for
Remember
years, by the way.
Diarrhea all over the people? Yeah.
Like, go back and watch the original Shrek. Before Shrek became a cult classic that all adults like, it was a children's movie. And it's rife with fucked up
adult
references
jokes.
That kids just won't get.
You know, I don't. I think part of that with the Blippi shit is
literally,
literally. I think the funniest part about that is that he could have, if he's a child's character, he could be reading the book Everybody Poops while doing it.
The best, or the fucking best,
or bro. The two other books, Nobody Poops But You, and then the Catholic version. That's concentrated evil coming out the back of you. That's hilarious. A Family Guy joke.
Yeah,
that's really funny. I thought you were going to say the Catholic version was
shh. Well,
don't say anything.
That's
yeah.
after.
Jack Mandeville. Is that the first time you've seen it? Jack's on the network. He's got a show called the Friday Night Jack Sesh on Patreon. Super aggressive. Is that the first time you've seen the video? I've never seen you shocked at anything. Like you were, you're
horrified.
That one got you, huh? Man. Because he's a guy that on his show, like you went off on a 20-minute rant that white women did 9/11, yeah. And so the fact that this video is shocking to you is kind of crazy to me. But yeah, that's a one take, Timmy. I don't know how you get that much shit out of your asshole at that point. Proud of you,
fiber and protein, bro.
I guess, but like to time it up at that moment, and your buddy's upside down, buck naked with his asshole.
Has
spread?
Anybody asked him if it was if there was a second take?
Or, no. I would love to.
Yeah.
If I see him in person, that's the only thing I'm going to ask him.
You know, it'd be really funny if, I mean, you know, hindsight being what it is, but just like, if you could edit this and put like take 75 in front of it and then put the video back out, that'd be really funny.
Or break up in the middle of it and do an ad for McDonald's soft serve.
Da 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 da. I'm loving it.
The guy at the bottom is like, I'm loving it. My mouth again.
I think you need like a DVD extras, just like a little documentary on it being made. You know what I mean? You're sitting down the cast, like they're on the set.
A 30 for 30 would be appropriate. Because that's an athletic move, I feel like. That would be an ESPN Plus special. I'd like to see it on
the
there.
Next 30 for 30 that comes out is The Shark.
Yeah.
About Greg Norman.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Baby Shark. That's what I was laughing. I was like, dude. Baby Shark shit on somebody too.
No, but OBJ likes to get shit on.
He does. Yeah. He still hasn't signed with anybody yet.
No, he's waiting for the Browns.
Nailed it. Speaking of shit,
I think he really might go back to the Browns now.
He might. If it's him and Amari Cooper, that'd be deadly. He had Deshaun Watson there.
I know. We did a. You know what's funny is I gotta go. I haven't been to the. I went to one Rams game in the last couple of years, and it was that great Monday Night Football game where they played the Chiefs.
Oh, shit. That was one of the greatest games of all time.
When my buddy's wife, her family, has season tickets. I had Clippers season tickets. So I took him to see Kobe's last game against the Clippers. Not his last game of all time.
Right.
But then years later, he was like, hey, I got this game. If you want to come to see that, and it wound up being that fucking Monday night game.
No way, dude.
It was crazy.
Wasn't it 48-45 or 51-48? Like, I mean, it was
so close, and they were scoring.
It was like 100 points.
Dude, it was all offense.
Yeah, it was awesome.
For four quarters, it was amazing.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Great game.
Great game. We'll end on that today.
Great game.
Drinking Bro of the Week. I'd say, we got a listener in here. Oh, you're not allowed on camera? Are you fucked up or high? Which one is it? Neither. Come on,
both.
Dude. Come on. What's your name? Peter. What's your last name? McGuire. Peter McGuire. Oh, shit. Peter McGuire. Did I know you from the chats? Okay, great. Peter McGuire, Drinking Bro of the Week. You want to come on up? You want to get on camera? Come on in. So what we do, Jonathan, is we invite listeners into the studio.
Yeah.
And whoever's here, because we just don't care. We know our listeners are cool. So it's like, hey, if you're here, you can come in and be live on the show. Peter McGuire, I know you from the message boards because we usually go live on YouTube.
From the cruise, from all kinds of stuff. I've been here for a long time.
Everything.
Yeah.
Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
I'm going to go with my dad, and he just got cancer, and he's been kicking it. So.
Shit.
Yeah. He's been doing really good. So I think he's 2 months into his chemo. I think he's got 2 weeks left. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jeff.
Jeff. All right. Cheers to Jeff. Where's he at?
What's that?
Where's he at?
Michigan. He's in Michigan.
Oh, no shit.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Michigan? Yeah, you didn't go to
Just outside of Lansing. It's a little town. I forget what it's called exactly.
Well, Lansing Perry. Is Magic Johnson.
Perry.
Yeah.
Perry, Michigan, yeah.
Yeah. Lansing's where Michigan State is. Magic Johnson.
Yep.
The whole shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Winning Time. I've been watching that. So, yeah. They always go back to Lansing in the show.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Spoiler alert. he keeps going back for Cookie, and then he gets AIDS. Whatever. Spoiler alert.
Ross, do you know who he works for?
No.
Peter, tell me who you work for.
Yeah, I work for BlackRock. I work for Jared.
He's Jared's guy. Jared's guy.
Yeah, I'm Jared's like assistant. Jared has his own assistant. Guy.
He's been around.
I do everything for Jared, yeah.
I know you've been around. I've seen you everywhere, obviously, but I didn't know you worked for Jared.
Many times. Yeah, yeah.
God damn, that's what I do, man. Yeah. What's that like?
Awesome. I love it. It's fun.
Is he just getting hot dogs and weird like shrimp and fucking po' boys all the time?
No, not really, man. He eats pretty good.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Come on.
No, he really does.
That's crazy.
I met Jared after everything, so like he's, you know, he's all clean and good.
That's right. He did the Ibogaine, right?
One of those. Yeah, Ibogaine or something like that.
Yeah, you know what that is, Jonathan?
No.
Shit. It's like ayahuasca times.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, 10? I think it's Ibogaine, yeah.
Yeah, it's like ayahuasca times like 10. You go into like a fucking mental prison for, you know, 18 hours works or something for crazy. It does. It works for a ton of people.
Yeah, yeah.
You shit your brains out.
No. So that's ayahuasca, but this one is like, hey, dude, you're really going through a mental fucking hole. And like, because he came on the show and described it, and he was just like, dude, in my mind, like, I'm just, because you know how long it lasts. And I guess it was like 8 hours or something like that. I forget the actual number, but he goes, it got to a point where I'm counting down seconds to count down minutes to count, to try to get out of this.
Yeah.
And because he's like, you just need to let go and kind of let the drugs take over at that point, but you won't. And he goes, so I counted, and he goes, in my mind, man, I had counted to like, 30 minutes or something like that. And when he looked at the clock, it was two. And he was just like, I'm fucked because this is going to go on for another 7.5 hours.
Yeah.
But everybody who does it, they say that it changes their life, and because eventually, once you give into it, like you go through your whole life and history and everything else, and then you come out the other side a better person. But yeah, that was the whole fucking experience. And I'm like, he goes, dude, you got to do it, and I'm like, no, dude.
Yes, no. He makes it sound horrible.
Yes.
Everybody who does it makes it sound horrible. So I don't know, but I mean, good on the other end, I guess.
Broke up with his girlfriend, everything. Yeah. I mean, called his high school sweetheart. They're still together too. Yeah. I mean, it's fucking wild, dude. So that's a journey I'm not willing to take. I'll do the ayahuasca and shit my brains out and kind of figure things out.
I could use a good cleanse.
Same. But that's too much for me. That's too much. Especially after being in a coma where you know that you're in there and you're like, oh, dude, I can't.
It'd be weird for you probably, yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm not going back.
Experiencing that same thing again on purpose.
I'm not going back to that. Are you kidding me, dude? Come on.
Yeah.
Yoink.
Wild. Well, shit. Thanks for being here, man. Yeah, and sorry to hear about your dad. Yeah, and I hope he gets better.
Yeah, he's kicking it. So
great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's great to hear. Give Jared a shout out. I was just at his house, I don't know, a week ago. His daughter's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
He had a fucking mechanical bull in his front yard.
Yeah, I know. I set all that stuff up, but I didn't go.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
We had a great time there.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan, tell everybody where they can find you.
JonathanKiteComedy.com is my website. JonathanKiteComedy.com. And then my socials are at Jonathan Kite, KITE, like go fly ya.
Yeah, yeah.
And
for
I'm
sure.
In Austin this weekend at Vulcan. And then I'm at tonight and tomorrow at Vulcan with Adam Ray. And then I'm doing East Austin Comedy Club tonight. And I'm also at Sunset Strip Comedy. I'm at the ballroom. I think it's a Spider Lounge, Spider House at the ballroom there.
Okay.
Tomorrow night for Sunset Lounge. So I got shows all weekend. Check out my website. Check out my Instagram.
Hell yeah. Look, we love you on the show.
So I love
whenever,
you, brother.
Whenever
I'm
you're
so
in
happy
town, just come back, dude.
Of course, dude. I love it.
We'll have you on any time, dude.
Thank
it's
you,
the
bro.
Best. It's the best. For D'Anthony Holloway, Jonathan Kite, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone. First and foremost, our title sponsor, OmahaSteaks.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you an extra $35 off at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. From USDA-certified tender steaks to burgers and more, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience, guaranteed to secure your spot as Dad's favorites. Shop OmahaSteaks.com and give Dad the legendary Heartland quality he deserves. Plus, our listeners get an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Here's what I love about Omaha Steaks. It's easy to use. Shows up right at your house in a huge styrofoam cooler full of dry ice, even in the hot, hot state of Texas down here. It keeps it nice and cool. Shit, mine, I was gone for 36 hours, dude, and it was still great when I returned. Ton of options over there for Omaha Steaks as far as delivery goes. Now, obviously, the steaks are to die for. The fan favorite is the filet mignon, which has earned the coveted distinction of USDA certified tender, and their all-new smash burgers are built for the grill, but they also carry mouth-watering chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, and easy to prepare comfort food. My wife loves the apple tart desserts they have over there. And each steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand cut by master butchers. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917. They're a family owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. This Father's Day, give Dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit OmahaSteaks.com for a guaranteed perfect gift that delivers legendary quality. And for an extra $35 off, use the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. It is OmahaSteaks.com and an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Just go ahead and see this site for details. Brother!
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.